I've thought about during the past year how many times we've got up here and we've read prayer requests. There's one scene in there where this lady has a framed picture on her wall. And it's got line after line of names and incidents. A lady's visiting her house. She said, "What is this?" She said, "These are the prayers that God has answered." Now, church, we could have one of them on the wall here. We've seen God answer some prayers. If you hadn't seen that movie, you need to go see it. Now, I don't say that about a whole lot of movies, but that you need to go see it. It's very good. Now, I want to talk tonight on why we need the whole armor of God. And the scripture I want to read is in Ephesians chapter number 6. And I want to start reading in the 10th verse. And I'm just going to read down through the 18th verse. And then I want to go back and look at it. But beginning in the 10th verse, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Now, if you look at this scripture, and it starts off, and we read a couple of these verses Sunday morning, it talks about children obeying your parents, talks about the parents' responsibility, then it talks about a worker or a servant's responsibility, then it talks about a leader or someone who is over others, it talks about their responsibility. And then he goes on down and he's beginning to teach them. He says, "Finally, my brethren." And he tells them to be strong in the Lord. And I want to tell you, as I begin to think about this scripture and I begin to read it, the thought come to my mind and my heart, why do we need the whole armor of God? And it tells you right here in the scripture why we need it. And I want to just kind of talk about that and break those things down. But here in the 11th verse, it says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And the first thing I've got here, why we need the whole armor of God, is to stand against the enemy. And our enemy is the devil. Sometimes I think people get confused about who the enemy is. They think it's somebody in their home. They sometimes think it's their spouse. Sometimes they think it's their children. Sometimes it's the people that they work with. It's a different political party than they like, or it's a leader that they don't like. But our enemy is the devil. And where it says here, the wiles of the devil, it means his cunning devices. It's the wiles. And I want to give you a verse of scripture. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. In verse number 11, it says, and it begins to talk about how we, in the 10th verse, how we should forgive. Okay? How we should have forgiveness in us. And it go down to the 11th verse. It says, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." The first thing we need to understand why we need to have on the whole armor of God is that we do have an enemy. And he has devices, and he comes in many different ways. And You know, one thing about the devil when he comes at you, and I've heard people talk about different things, and they talk about having a problem with things. And not everybody in here struggles with the same thing. You know, sometimes in Celebrate Recovery, I actually have had the opportunity of counseling people who have struggled with different things. And when I talk to them, I don't fully understand, because I've never struggled with some of those same things. But then there are others that I talk to, and I can absolutely and completely understand everything they're talking about, because I've been there. But one thing that the devil knows about you and I, and he gets this not because he's omnipotent like God, but he gets it from watching us, and he gets it from listening to us, as he knows what our weaknesses are. And he's going to come, and his devices are such that he's going to do everything he can to hit you right at your weakest point to cause you to fail. See, he has many devices, and I want you to also understand his places. If you look at the 12th verse, it says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood." But I want you to see that we wrestle against him, and why we need to be clothed in the whole armor of God is because he's going to come at us in the spiritual realm. Now, it becomes natural, and that's where it becomes the greatest sin and the destruction in us, is because he works through the spiritual to cause us to fail. But even when you're trying to do the things that are right with God, if you look at this scripture, look at what it says. It says, we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. And what that means is spiritual wickedness in places of authority. And here's something about the devil that I think it makes the devil laugh. Every time somebody says, "I don't believe the Bible." Every time somebody says, "I don't believe in God." I've heard people say, "There really is no such thing as good and evil. It's all how you perceive it." Well, that's what the devil's laughing about. And what it says here, spiritual wickedness in high places, is that places of authority, there are people that are actually being led by the spirit of darkness, and they don't even believe that the spirit of darkness actually exists. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, I want to give you two verses. It's verse number 3 and verse number 4. Paul is talking about the gospel and how difficult sometimes it is to get the gospel to people and to get them to receive it. He says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world," well, who's the God of this world? That's the devil. "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." And Satan does a very good job of blinding the minds of people. That's why people today are living in darkness, and they're making a mockery of Christianity. And all the while, the life that they're living is actually being directed, it's being motivated, and it's being moved in the spiritual realm by the powers of darkness. Now, for you and I as Christians, I mean, we're not following the devil. We're here in God's house. But I want to tell you, he's after you. And he wants to do whatever he can that he can stop you. Look at the 13th verse. It says, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day." That's his attack. You see, one thing that I believe, if you begin to start trying to serve the Lord, the enemy's going to try to stop you. He's going to come and he's going to try his best to get into your life any way that he can. That's why in one place Paul said that we ought to lay aside every weight and the besetting sin that so easily besets us. Now, one thing about that, everybody has a besetting sin. You know, you may not struggle with alcohol, you may not struggle with drugs, but you got something. And in the eyesight of God, there are no big sins, there are no little sins. Anything that causes you to be separated from the peace of God and the power of God, that's what the devil's going to use. And that's what he wants to do. He's going to come after you. Now, he's going to come, it's kind of like this. I've heard people say, You know, I get up on Sunday morning, and it seems like that's the worst my kids are going to be. Y'all ever notice how you just want to sleep in on Sunday morning? It's the best day. It's the best day to sleep late. My mother used to kind of pick at my dad. She said, you know, we'd drive to church, all the way to church. We'd fight all the way. He'd go to get out. He'd open the door, and she'd say, all right, now put your water shoes on and get out there and bless them if you can. See, just because you're trying to do right doesn't mean that everything is going to go exactly the way it needs to go. And the enemy's going to come against you. He's going to try to stop you. He's going to come after you, and he's going to come after your family. You know, I've heard people talk all my life about preachers' kids. They bad because they run with the deacon's kids. But can I tell you something? You start trying to serve God, he's going to come any way he can. Any way he can. He's going to come after your relationship with your spouse. And I want to tell you something. He wants to come after this church. He wants to do everything he can to cause people to have disunity and division. And sometimes, you know, y'all ever notice how kids can play on the playground? And they can fight and knock each other off the slide, steal toys from each other, and the next day they get together and they're getting along. But you get in God's house and you get somebody to disagree about one little thing, and you got to pray for months to get past it. All the while, Satan's over there and he's laughing because if he can cause division in the house of God, he's got victory. You see, he's got devices and he plans an attack and he is relentless. That's why it says in the 14th verse, in the latter part of the 13th verse, it says, and having done all to stand, what does it say? Still stand. See, and here's something I looked at when I saw that I want us to understand, is we can't take it for granted today because we're okay. You can't take it for granted today that you were able to say, I have victory and I haven't been in this or in that, or it's almost like when I see them have chip time at Celebrate Recovery, and I like to see it. You never go down and get another chip and take it for granted that the next one will come easy. You never come into God's house and see God saving people and people moving and lives being changed and take it for granted. It says, having done all to stand, still stand. In other words, and having overcome all, do not take it for granted where you are today. And here's something I think we need to understand about an armor. You need the whole armor. You need it all. Studying just a little bit about armor, even when you have it all on, you can have one chink it, which sometimes an armor is built to where it has overlapping metal, and if there's one layer that's gone, that's a weak spot. And the reason that you need to have the whole armor is whatever piece you don't have on, that is the weak spot, and that's where the enemy is going to attack. That's why you need the whole thing. First, the first part it talks about is loins girt about with truth. And here's something to understand about the loins, and it's something to understand about truth. The loins are the stomach. If you've ever lifted weights or you've ever lifted anything heavy, you got to be strong in your core. And I'm past all that, okay? I'm kind of to the point I told my wife, I said, I have quit trying to lose weight because I lose weight and my shape don't change. But when you start working out, it's your core. I mean, when I was very slim, I used to do glass work and I picked up heavy, heavy stuff. And the way I was able to do it is I was like steel right here. And every time I'd pick something up, that's the first thing that would begin to tighten up. Now, here's something to understand about loins girt about with truth. Your strength is in knowing the truth. You see, because every time the devil comes at you, this is what I want you to understand about him, he's going to come tell you a lie. Because everything he says is a lie. He's the father of lies. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's the deceiver. And if you know what truth is and you understand truth, that's your first defense against the enemy.
If I know the Word of God and I believe the Word of God and the Word of God is in me, what does the Bible say? In John chapter 8, verse 32, it says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Then over in John 14, 6, it says, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." You see, the devil's going to tell you a lie. You need the truth. Well, what is truth? If you study the Word of God, truth is Jesus. That's why if you look at this, what's the first thing you got to have? You got to have Jesus. And a lot of times people get in trouble and they can't stand against the enemy. It's the number one thing they don't have is they don't have God. And that's why even when we're here on Monday night and we're trying to help people and we're going through these steps, if they don't realize they need God first, they will not be able to stand. You need Jesus. You need Him first. You need loins girt about with truth. Number two is the breastplate of righteousness. Now here's kind of where sometimes we lose it. Now, folks, I mentioned to somebody earlier here, just talking a little bit before church, I'm not one of these legalistic people. I try my best when I'm preaching the Word to preach the Word of God, to not preach my opinions, to not preach my preferences. Y'all don't understand what I'm talking about? Because I believe when you study the Word of God, folks, there are absolutes, and that means it's for everybody. Then there are things that are convictions. And I'll say this about convictions. If your convictions are not growing, you're not growing. But you can't live by mine and I can't live by yours, and we don't need to judge each other about it. But then there are things that are preferences. And sometimes it means nothing. It's just like, what do you feel about this versus what you feel about it? And there ain't one verse of scripture to support either one of his opinion. And we can talk about that, and we can talk about legalism, but I'll tell you, we're living in a time today where righteousness is falling away, to where holiness seems to be a thing that people don't want to talk about anymore, and it's not a thing that's found in people's lives. But here's something I want you to understand when you're fighting the devil. You can't have open, unconfessed sin in your life and have power with God. You study over there in the book of Acts, and they were trying to cast out devils, and the devil looked at them and said, "Paul, we know. Jesus, we know. But who are you?" And that evil spirit jumped on them and whipped them. And a lot of times reason people getting whipped by the devil is because their lives are so unholy and they're so distant from God, they've opened a door to allow him in. In Psalms chapter number 1, in verse number 1, it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Says, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. You see, one thing that I understand, and I know this because of the Holy Spirit, and I've been there. There's been times in my life that because of my own actions, I needed to cry out to God, but he seemed like he was a long ways away. And this is one thing as a pastor, as a father, as a husband, I want to be to where my life is in such a position that I'm right with God. So if that phone rings, I don't have to fall to my knees and beg God to forgive me before I can pray for that one that's asking me to pray for them. There's another place in Psalms, and this is a verse that God has showed me, and I'll be honest with you, I call this the preacher's verse. Every now and then, I used to go to those conventions where they'd have like the, it's kind of like the Georgia Baptist Convention, but where I went was the Noonday Convention, and we'd go, and there'd be a bunch of preachers preaching to preachers. And I thought, Lord, if I was to preach here,
it'd be a different kind of message. I heard a preacher said he went to a church one time. It was, and this is the truth, it's up above Murphy, North Carolina. He said he went up there to preach. He said the name of the church was Hanging Dog Baptist Church. It's real church. He said he got up there, and he said it took him a long way to get there, and he said it was one of those kind of churches. Y'all remember when you was growing up how they had the windows all the way down both sides, and the church would be so full, and they'd raise the windows, and people would be standing outside the windows looking in, and they're looking in the back door. He said, I got there, and people were lined up outside the door, and I said, excuse me, I need to get in there. And one of them grabbed me by the collar and said, you ain't going in there. We've been standing out here for an hour trying to get in there, and you think we're just going to let you in? He said, I'm the preacher. I have to go. Then they made way and they let him through. He said, I went in there, sat down, and he said, as a guy got up and preached, and he said he scalded the dog. And you understand what he meant? He meant he preached hard to them. Well, here's one of those verses that is a hard verse for anybody that's going to stand up and try to witness to somebody else. In Psalms 24, verse number 3, it said, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? And here's what it says. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. But we're living in a time today where I'm afraid that people think they can just come before the Lord in any condition and it just be all right and just God's just going to move. But I'll tell you something. When your hands are dripping with dirt, the enemy looks at you and he's got you. He can jump on you and he can put the whipping on you because your power with God is on the ground. Because more than likely, most of the time in a Christian's life, when you open the door, you make yourself vulnerable for the enemy. That's why he said, you put on the breastplate of righteousness. Don't think that just anything's all right. God's going to be with you. But he's God. He has a standard. He has an expectation. Now, folks, that's not popular today. You don't hear that in a lot of churches, but that's what the Bible teaches us. Then we go down to the next one. He said, feet that are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Over in Matthew chapter number 4, Jesus was taken of the devil. He had not eaten for 40 days, and he went up there, and he was tempted, and he was tempted, and he was tempted of the devil. And, of course, he said, you know, you shall not tempt the Lord thy God. But in Matthew 4:4, he says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Romans 1:16, he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. There is power in the Word of God. You know, we have Awana, and here's really one reason why I support Awana so much. When you get the Word of God ingrained into your children, believe it or not, there's going to come a time that they're going to be off somewhere and they're not going to be with you. They're not going to be with their youth group. They're not going to be with somebody that's going to be whispering in their ear, telling them you really need to do the right thing. But they're going to be around people that are going to be trying to lead them and direct them down paths that they ought not to go down. And that Word of God, if it's instilled in them, it's going to pop up. You see, if they've been saved by the grace of God and that Word of God is in them, the Spirit of God is going to bring that Word back to them. I heard a preacher, he has actually pastored a huge church in Dallas, Texas. He's also the president of one of the largest seminaries in Texas. He said he was in Las Vegas for a convention. Now, why in the world Christians would go to Las Vegas for a convention? Beside me, I don't understand that one. But he said he was in Las Vegas for a convention. He said he was going up the elevator to his room, and he said when he got on the elevator, two girls come on the elevator with him. He said we went up to the 8th, 10th floor, whatever. He said I stepped off the elevator. They stepped off the elevator with me. I went down the hall, they followed me. He said, I got to my room, and they asked me, would you like to have some company? And he said, as I looked at them, you know, a lot of people say, it's kind of like I said Sunday morning, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. I want to tell you something, nothing is hid from the eyesight of Almighty God.
He said, immediately the verse of Scripture came to my heart and my mind. He said, immediately the word of God spoke to me, and it said, yield not therefore your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. He said, the word of God immediately started running. That's why if we have preparation of the gospel of peace and the word of God is in us, there's nowhere we'll go that the devil will chase us or our children that the word of God won't be there to remind us of who we belong to. And I want to tell you something. I am thankful for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And I'm thankful that God convicts us of the little things. You know, sometimes I get so busy and I'm just being honest with you, I am busy and I get tired, like you was talking about. And when I get busy and I get tired, I'm going to be honest, I have to watch my attitude. You know, I work all day and I come home, my wife says something to me, I say, what are you talking, what do you mean? I've gotten better at that, hadn't I, honey? I've gotten better over the years. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit convicted me. He said, if you can be nice to all them people all day at work, and most of them you don't even like, what about your wife that you love? What about your children that you give your life for? And it's not just that, but can I tell you that unto whom much is given, much is required of them? God expects us to love everyone. And there's been times, you know how it is on the road, just a lot of fun trying to drive an hour and 15 minutes home. And I run into people, and I'm an example. I got a boy that's wanting to drive every time we get in the car now, and I'm trying to be an example to him, telling him how to respond to people, showing him. But didn't you hear it just the other day in a fit of road rage, there was a little two or four-year-old got killed? Folks, I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit that doesn't allow me to be consumed by me. But if I'm going to be strong, you know what? I got to have that whole armor. I got to have those loins girt about with truth. I got to have that breastplate of righteousness. And I got to have those feet that are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And I've got to have that shield of faith. Doesn't the Bible say that without faith it is impossible to please God? You know, we got a praise tonight and a prayer request about Miss Emily. Many times I talked to Brother Larry. We're praying, and you know what I'd hear? God's got this. I talked to Tara out on the sidewalk several times, and every time I talked to her, she said, God's got this. You know, even when sometimes things go exactly the way you want them to, and God's got it. But sometimes things don't go exactly the way you want them to, and guess what? God's still got it. God's still got it. And we walk by faith, not by sight, because we believe what this word of God says, and we're walking with Him, and we're trusting with Him. And here's what the shield of faith is. It's when you put your trust in Him more than your trust in yourself. You can do that every day at work. Folks, I get up and go to work. I don't trust in my ability. I trust in His. I don't trust in what I can do, but I trust in what God can do. There's a song that some friends of ours used to sing. The name of the song is I Believe Jesus. You might remember the spiritual heirs, Bill Davis and Catherine. And they sang this song, in this age of confusion, there's disillusion everywhere. It's hard to find true peace of mind or someone who really cares. But I put my trust in Jesus. He's like no other friend I know. His grace is true. He will see you through. I believe Jesus. I love that song. And you know, when you're facing things that are difficult and you're out there in the world and the enemy's coming at you, you got to have the shield of faith. You've got to have the helmet of salvation. I'm going to hurry and get done with this. But here's why this is important. Why do we need to put on the helmet of salvation? Because we need to get our mind right. Scripture says in one place in regards to our salvation, it says you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body, which is the Lord's. And here's something to understand about the helmet of salvation and about getting your
mind right. The scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 5 that we are to bring every thought captive to be in subjection to the obedience of Christ. And this is what the devil, this is what we need to understand. Everything that's going to happen in your life is going to start right here. And you can stop it right here and you can rebuke it, and that's not sin. But when you begin to dwell on it, and you dwell on it long enough, a thought will become an action. And if you repeat an action will become a habit. If you repeat a habit, then eventually it becomes a stronghold. And it gets a hold of you, and the devil, you know what the devil's doing by then? He's laughing, and he's already moved on to somebody else because he's got you right where he wants you. And the last one is the sword of the Spirit. And this is something I think is very important. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 7, it says, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And this is something I think is very important in the life of a Christian, and you're trying to live your Christian life and you're trying to stand strong and serve God, is spiritual discernment. You got to have a relationship with God personally. You know, I've seen people, and this troubles me probably as much as anything in being involved in church all my life, is see somebody go up to somebody and ask them a question and hear it and know they're giving them bad advice. And know sometimes they're telling them something that's absolutely contrary to the Word of God. That's why the sword of the Spirit is so important, and that's big S. Anytime you see Spirit in the Bible, it's a big S, that's the Holy Spirit. Little S is the spirit of man or another spirit. We need to have a personal relationship with God, take the sword of the Spirit, walk in the Spirit daily by having an ongoing relationship with God. That's why the scripture says to pray without ceasing. You say, well, I can't pray without ceasing. I'm driving. It's what's in here. It's that prayer is the sincere desire of the heart. And then you go on down in 18th verse, it says praying and watching with perseverance and with supplication. I'm going to give you just a couple of verses and then I'll close. This is in Ephesians. It's in chapter number 5, beginning in verse number 14. It says, wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly or cautiously, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. It says, wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And I got this verse of scripture on my wall at work. You know, it's very easy in the day and time that we're living in, and I mentioned this to somebody, I talked to Brother Allen about this and some of the youth leaders. We're going to get our children where they need to be and get them to stand. Guess what we're fighting against? You're fighting against a cell phone that gives them access to everything on this planet. You're fighting against the culture that tells them that you and I are old fogey and what we believe is old-fashioned and out of style. I heard a preacher preaching this, David Gibbs Sr., and he said, this world will put a pull on you. You know why you need the whole armor of God? Because all it takes is you laying down one piece of it for that pull to pull you in the wrong direction. That's why it says, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, folks, I want that whole armor. And I can tell you something. I can tell because I know who I belong to, and I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit. All it takes is, when I've done this or just got a little off track over here, I've laid one piece down. Could you imagine going out to battle and somebody swinging at you with a sword, not having your armor on? Put on the whole armor of God. Amen. I hope something I said tonight was a blessing to you or a help to you. That's just something I sat down today at the fried tomato buffet. And I ate the buffet and I studied this lesson. So I hope it was a blessing to you tonight. Anybody have a word or anything you'd like to say for the Lord?